God is great. He is great in my soul. God good to anybody else besides me. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. Wah. Is God good to anybody else besides me? Has he made ways? Has he opened doors? Has he healed your bodies? God been good to you today. How about just today? Can we give God a good praise for being good to us on today? I love him. I love him. I love him. I love him. He is great. He is a wonder. Let me go further and tell y'all, he is a wonder. He is a wonder in my soul. I'm so grateful, so thankful to be in his house tonight. So thankful to be amongst my brothers and sisters in Christ. One more time, God is good to me. But I'm going to get right to it because I see the time. Amen. And we're going to work together tonight. Is that all right? I do solicit your prayers. I feel like we have a word from the Lord. He just didn't let me in on it too early this time. Amen. But I feel like the Lord does have a word for us on tonight. I'm always really, really, really try to be prayerful and mindful. God knows. He knows my heart. I never want anything I say to be from me, but only from the Lord. Amen. So I do solicit your prayers on tonight. But let's turn to the word of the Lord. Mark chapter number 9. We're going to go to Mark chapter number 9. We're going to begin at verse number 33. The book of Mark chapter number 9, verse 33. Mark 9 and 33, if you have it, say, I got it. Amen. Everybody should have it because it's right on the screen behind you. Amen. Y'all ready? I'm going to read in your hearing. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves? By the way, this is Jesus talking. All right, verse 34, we're going to read down to 42. But they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed amongst themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Verse 38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me, for he is not against us in our part. For whosoever should give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Lord God, we come before you. Thank you and praise you, O God, for your goodness, your tender mercy, your loving kindness, and your grace. Hallelujah, Lord God, we worship you tonight, Lord God, in your house. Oh God, we come humbly before you, sweet, merciful Savior. Hallelujah, Lord God, asking that you speak a word to us on tonight. Hallelujah, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that my voice be silent and you alone speak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We only want to hear from you, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Please, Lord God, we ask that you impart your word unto us. Lord God, and we want to be ready hearers and doers of your word. Lord God, we just want to be right. Hallelujah. We just want to live for you and be saved and be who you're calling for us to be. Lord God, speak a word of edification to our spirits and we'll be forever grateful, forever thankful. Lord God, we'll be so careful to give your name all the praise, glory, and honor. Oh God, we ask that you do this, Lord God, for your name's sake. Do it for your name's reputation, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. And amen. Hallelujah. So we'll take our principal text quickly. Hallelujah. From verse number 36 and 37. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. For a subject tonight, will use childlike faith. Amen? Childlike faith. And thank the Lord and praising him for this particular scripture. Thanking God. Let's move on down because I think I just read to 41, didn't I? I was supposed to go to 42. Let's read verse 42. Y'all with me? Mark 9 and 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him. No, I didn't read this. It is better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were cast into the sea. So here we have Jesus with his disciples here in the book of Mark, chapter number 9. And what's going on is right before this, his disciples are having an argument. And they're arguing about something fairly petty, but it's something that we can find ourselves caught up doing as well. They're arguing about which one of us is the best. If anybody ever grew up in a house with siblings, this argument happened probably to you quite a bit. Amen? We would have this discussion and debate in our household all the time amongst our siblings. I'm the favorite. No, I'm the favorite. No, it's me. You know, unfortunately, all my siblings were deceived, but we praying for them. Amen? But we would go through these debates all the time. Who is the greatest? So the disciples, everybody think it's them. Amen? The disciples are having the same debate. Who amongst themselves is the greatest? But they've gotten smart enough. They've been around Jesus long enough that when Jesus asked them, what are y'all arguing about? They didn't say nothing. They knew better. They have been rebuked enough. They've been rebuked enough to know we better not tell him what we're arguing about. So they wouldn't say anything, but he already knew. He's all-knowing. Amen? So he already knew what they was arguing about in verse number 35. So that's why he goes into this scripture that we just read. So in verse 35, he said, he sat down and called the 12 because he already knew they arguing about who's the best, right? And he said, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, servant of all. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love how he can attack an issue before you even say that it's an issue? He wants us to be right. Amen. He wants us to live right. He wanted the disciples to have right thinking and right thoughts. And he wants the same thing for us today. So he tells them, he knows they're having a dispute and they're having this argument. So he says to them, you know, if any man desire, I want to tell you who's going to be first. And actually what he describes to them is, really, what I want you all to know, the first is going to be last. We understand that. Amen? Being in church, we've heard this. We know this. We understand this concept that actually the first is going to be the last. But they moved on a little bit further in chapter number 10. If you want to go there with me, please. Chapter number 10, verses 13 through 16. And it says this. And they brought young children to him. I'm still in the book of Mark. I'm sorry. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him, and he should touch them. And disciples rebuked those that bought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Now, he just told them, amen, in Mark chapter number 9. Remember, we just read it, right? He had just told them, you know, about the importance of children. And this is how I want you to be. You look at these children, and this is how, this is the type of faith that I want you to have. And here they come now in chapter number 10, right after that. Somebody's bringing the children up to him to get prayed for. And the disciples, no. No, get them kids back. Push them back. We have to be careful who we listen to, amen? Because sometimes in an effort to help, we can actually hinder. And I want to make sure that I'm always in a place where I'm not hindering somebody coming to Jesus, amen? In my effort to keep decorum, you know, I have all these rules in my mind about decorum in the sanctuary, and especially, you know, when you grow up in church, you've been in church all your life, you see certain things going down, I got to fix that, I got to correct that. But in an effort to correct somebody, I might want to be correcting somebody running down to the altar, and I want to correct them and stop them, but God's drawing them. Who am I to say it's not their time? It might be in the middle of a message, and somebody comes and lays prostrate in the middle of this altar, who am I to stop that person as they run down to the altar? But do y'all know what I'm saying? Anybody else been in that situation where you're trying to help? In an effort to help, we can also sometimes hinder. Today I was out, we were out, and my husband and I, and with a good friend of the family, and you know, as we were out, one of my children did something, and the person that was with us went to go correct that child. And so as I was sitting there and I was listening, you know, they got really stern. Now, the child had gone against, you know, what their father had said, and I'm sitting there and I hear it, you know, I was there, but I was sitting there and I hear it, and I decided I was going to give the child grace. I knew it happened, I saw it happen, but I decided in that moment I was going to extend a little grace, and we'll deal with it later. But the person that was with us didn't want to extend grace. You know, and I sat there and I watched the whole thing transpire, and I almost jumped in and said, I got this. Y'all know how we want to do as parents. I am their mother. But, you know, I want to jump in and say, I got this. You know, it's fine. But I sat back and just quietly watched. And I watched what I would have offered as grace in the effort of someone helping. Like, oh, I want to help and correct this. This isn't right, this behavior. The behavior wasn't right. It wasn't that bad, but it wasn't right. And so they're trying to help correct the behavior, but in their correcting, they blocked grace. But I saw myself in that scenario. Lord, how many times have I been the one that blocked somebody's grace? Ooh, Jesus, Lord, help me. I was glad that it happened at the end of the day because it taught me something. Then when I read these scriptures, you know, and I see the disciples, these kids are coming for prayer. People want to send their kids down to get prayer, and they're like, no, 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 get away from Jesus. You know, because they're trying to help Jesus because Jesus is popular, and he's being surrounded and inundated, and you know, people are always coming to him. You know, we could look at our pastor the same way. I could look at him, and in my effort to want to help him, I might want to try to thwart somebody from coming and talking to him. But maybe that's exactly the avenue God had opened for them to be able to speak. Lord, help me to shut up. Help me, Jesus. Help me to stop helping if you didn't tell me to help. Amen? So in that, we see this lesson of disciples trying to stop these kids. So Jesus sees it. So Jesus is doing his Jesus thing. But in the midst of it, Jesus is occupied, obviously doing something. Healing, preaching, delivering. But he sees that he stops in the middle of what he's doing. He sees these children being stopped. And he says, suffer the little children to come unto me. Come on, y'all. Let them come. They're trying to help Jesus. Jesus said, in this moment, I don't need your help. Let those children come, right? So the children come down and they get prayer. Amen? He touches them. He takes that moment and he uses it for another lesson, right? He said, forbid them not to come, right? For such is the kingdom of God. He said, verily I say unto you, who shall receive the kingdom of God as this little child? Receive the kingdom of God as this little child. He's not even going to come in. Y'all better, instead of pushing the kids away, I want you to be like the kids. It's what Jesus is saying. You know, there's something beautiful about a child's faith. A child just has an honest, they just believe you're going to do whatever you're going to do and you're going to save the day and everything's going to be fine, right? They believe you're going to be there to fix it. You're going to be there to pick up the pieces. They don't have a whole lot of questions. They have a faith and a confidence that you're going to do what I need you to do. They have a faith and a confidence. Sister Tasha, I heard your testimony. You're going to provide for me. You're going to feed me. Them kids weren't worried. You at the grocery store with $20, fretting them kids, playing, laughing, having a good old time. They didn't have a worry or a fear or a fret because I've always been taken care of. Let's take a minute and look at the kids for a couple minutes. Is that okay? And you look at who Jesus wants us to be like, who he puts in front of us for an example of these children and the faith that they have and everything that you do for them. I don't worry about, they don't worry about clean clothes. The kids don't worry about laundry detergent. They don't worry about messing up the house. The house miraculously gets clean the next day, you know, and I have somewhere to play. They don't worry about their toys getting broken. They don't worry about things happening because no matter what happens, you take care of me. And I've come to depend on you. They are dependents. Don't we call our children our dependents, right? I come to depend on you. You take care of me, and I don't worry. I don't have nothing to worry about. Amen? Now, does everybody have that exact experience? No. You know, growing up, some of us had very, very real experiences with understanding the world way too early, at way too young of an age. Amen? And I understand that. And that's why Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me. These little kids that don't have a care in the world, I want them to come to me. Let me give you this example. My husband had a dear, dear friend who passed away. I wish I could remember how long ago now. But he had a dear friend that passed away. It shook all of us. When his same age as my husband, I was going to say as us, but we're not the same age. So same age as my husband. And he and his wife, they had three young children, and he and his wife were out on a Saturday. Y'all know how we do. They had 1,000 errands to run that day. They were dividing and conquering. They were in two cars. She was following behind him. They were going to the dentist or coming from the dentist, I believe it was, and then they were going to go like their separate ways after that. So she's following behind her husband, and in her husband's car, I believe he had the two boys in his car, and she's following behind him, and as she's following behind him, she has to sit there and watch as a huge truck smashes into her husband's car and kills him, and she's behind him watching this unfold. Now, mind you, not just her husband is in the car, but her children are in there as well. So she is the first one on the scene because she was behind him. So any of you, the first thing you do is go run to the car, and she has to see some things that nobody should see. You know, but there she saw her husband, but then her children survived. And not only did they survived without any major injury. God is good. In the midst of everything, we can be thankful. Let me go a little bit further and tell you about the goodness of God, even that, and out of every tragedy, we can say, thank you, Lord. Now, her son, who was the youngest, who was no older than, and I'll look to my husband to correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he's 2, 3 at the time of this accident. He was little, no older than 4, but he was very young. And so he should have been in the back in a car seat. Now, he's a firefighter, just like my husband. Safety first. Oh, help us, Lord. Safety first is our life, right? And so always, kids in car seats, you can go to the firehouse, and they tell you how to adjust your car seats. You know, so, you know, those kids are usually always strapped up. They strapped up right the way that they're supposed to be strapped up. So his son would have been in the car seat behind him. For some reason, only the grace of God, he had that child in the front seat next to him. His wife was like, I don't understand it. He's never done anything like that. But if he had been in the back seat, the car seat was obliterated. That child would have surely died in that wreck with his father. But God is good. So he's alive today, strong, teenager, handsome, doing well. Thank you, Jesus. But God is good, even in the midst of that tragedy. But I want to tell the story about his son. So we're at the funeral. Now, all of us, y'all should have heard even y'all's reaction. Everybody's going to react, Jesus. You know, because you, what we're looking at is this whole life now without your dad. You know, and many of us have had these experiences, but to watch that tragedy unfold, it was such a tragic, tragic event. So we're at the funeral, and very similar altar to here. And so his wife, of course, is on the front row, and their children next to her. And the youngest, the image is burned into my brain, the youngest is on the floor with his toys and his coloring books, laughing, playing, having a great time. Now, his father's in the casket right here. He's right there. His father's laid out in the casket, and he's on the floor, and I watched him with his cars, you know, and he's just on the floor. I'm so proud of his mother for just letting him play. So he was on the floor just playing, and I just looked at that little boy, and I said, he don't have a clue. Don't have a clue what's happening right in front of him because he has a childlike faith. You know, he wasn't worried. His father's laid out dead in front of him, and he didn't have a worry or a care in the world because he was too young to comprehend what was happening to him. So much so that later we was talking to him, you know, and I think he was talking to my husband when he said this, and he was messing with him, playing with him. He was like, yeah, when my dad wakes up from being dead, we're going to go and play this game, and da-da-da. I mean, but he was just a baby. He's just talking, yeah, he's dead, but when he wakes up from being dead, we're going to go do da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da because he has such a childlike faith. You see, the way God wants us to view him is through those type of eyes. When my life is falling apart and there is no way that I can be rectified, there is no coming back from this. This can't be fixed. You would think this can't be fixed, but God wants us to view him as even through the biggest tragedy of my life, God's going to see me through. It's going to be okay. When I come on out of this, when I wake up from being dead, we're going to do da-da-da-da-da. Because he wants us to have that type of faith. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 18, verse number 1. I'm going to hurry up, y'all, and get out. Matthew 18 and 1. And the same, I'm going to go ahead, okay, because I'm trying to get y'all out. 18 and 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Similar situation, right? And Jesus called the little child unto him and sat him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. He said, except ye be converted. You got to change yourself. It's not in our mentality to be like a little child because we're fully grown. Amen. I've had life experiences and I've gone through things and life has taught me some things. And even if I'm not fully grown, even as a teenager, I've lived some life now and I understand that I'm not a child and I try to figure things out with my human mind. But Jesus said, I want you to be converted. I want you to change who you are and become. I know that you're not that. So I know you're not that, but I want you to convert yourself and become as this little child. I know you're not there, but this is what I want you to work on. If you could just work on becoming like this little child. Whew. Humble yourself as this little child because the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If you could just get this childlike faith, we're going to work it all out. It's going to all work out for you because you don't have any worries. It's going to work out for you. Does that mean that I'll get everything that I want and the prayers are going to get answered the way I wanted them to get answered? Absolutely not. But it's going to all work out because I believe God got my back. At the end of the day, he's got my best interest at heart. Hallelujah. So it's going to work out for me. Oh, Hoshea. Hoshea. I hear you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. So we got to become as these little children. You know, I have a desire, you know, for the little kids. I want to be their friend at church, you know, and so I have this little thing with all the little kids at church, you know, and I'm not above bribing kids, you know, and so one in particular, and I don't see him here tonight, but one of my hardest nuts to crack was that little AJ. And so I was determined that I was going to be AJ's friend. And AJ was determined we're not going to be friends. You know, AJ would look at me. So, I wouldn't even reach for him. I wouldn't touch him. I look at him, and he said, look, Brian's doing it in the back. AJ might have did y'all like that. you just look at, no. You know, before you even approach me, before you say hi, if you look at him too long, them little girls swinging, And so, of course, I think that's hysterical. That makes me want to try even harder. You know, I keep messing with him just so sometimes so he can shake his head no at me because I think it's so funny that this little boy is telling me no before I even say hi. I just want to say hi to you. And he, you know. So I'm determined I'm going to be AJ's friend. So I keep trying it every week. No, you know, we're not getting nowhere. And his father tells me, you know, if you want to get to him, he loves food, you know. I said, okay, ding, ding, that's fine with me. So I went and bought me a economy-sized box of fruit snacks. And now every time I saw AJ at church, I handed him a fruit snack. You know, and at first, you know, he's still like, he takes it, but no smile, no nothing. But I'm going to take this fruit snack, right? Now, y'all, now that we about 3 months in, when I walk in the door, AJ, when he sees me, there you are. And so we were standing in the lobby last Sunday, I believe it was, and he came walking, his parents came walking in, and I was already standing in the lobby. And AJ walks in the door, you know, there she is, you know, and he's waving all big at me. And his father was holding him. So me and Aaron are having this conversation, and it was taking too long for AJ. So his grin just turned to like a stare down, and he's just staring at me. And Aaron said, why is he staring at you like that? You know, like we chuckling. I mean, he was staring me down hard. And Aaron said, why is he staring at you like that? I said, he's waiting for me to go in my purse. He said, you gotta be kidding me. You know, so we had this whole, I said, watch. As soon as I put my hand in my purse, his frown turned to a smile. He starts smiling. I pulled it out. He grinned so big. Thank you. You know, now he'll give me a hug. He'll give me a kiss, you know, because he has come to depend on Sister Joyce bringing him good things. And not only him, the other little kids have picked up on it too. Oh, I be getting in trouble. Some parents are so strict. Good grief. You know, woo. I'm like, come on. You know, I be trying not to be disobedient, sneaking kids candy and stuff. And some of y'all so strict. Come on. Let them give candy so I can be Sister Candy Joyce. But anyway, so I thank God because then the other little kids started picking up. So it's become a thing now. You know, they can depend on me to come over to me, and I'll have some type of treat for them. I'll have some type of something in my purse. I have to remember. I stock it now. Now I remember. Here I am crazy, y'all, at Sam's Club. Think about these little kids. You know, let me get my stuff. Oh, Sunday morning, before I run out the door, do I got fruit snacks in my purse? Okay, I do. You know, I'm getting all my stuff and gather because I'm thinking about them. They don't think about the fact that I have to prepare, that I have to go ahead of time and think about it, go buy the stuff and bring it to my house. I have to remember to put it, Lord, that's the big one. I have to remember to put it in my purse and give it to them. I have to remember that when I see them, give them the candy. They ain't think about none of that. All they know is when they see Sister Joyce, she's going to give me a treat. They have come to depend on me. You know, it's so wonderful and so beautiful when we can depend on the Lord. If these kids can depend on me, and I'm just a mortal person to bring them some, how much more so can we depend on the Lord? Does that sound good to anybody but me? I want to encourage you tonight to depend on the Lord, that we can come to him and we can receive of him, and he has good gifts for us. Now, I'm going to pull something out, and I'm going to ask that parents, let your kids do whatever they do. Let them respond however they respond. I'm going to ask everybody that's 12 and older to stay in your seat. Amen. And be obedient. Amen. To the word of the Lord. Not so much to me, but let your children do what they're going to do. Because there's something that happens when you see something good that is for you. It gives a response. Right? When you see something, a response starts to happen when kids see something. Amen? They get excited when they see things that could possibly be for them. And they start making their way to where the good stuff is. Kids won't ask no questions. They see good things happening and they want to come and get where the good stuff is. Now, am I supposed to go? Now, I see one running in the back. Running. Amen? Because I want to get something good that is coming to me. Now, look, the youngest one. Look at him. The youngest one. Hi, baby. Who loves you? Who loves you? How many are you getting? Okay, you getting two? Hi, mama. Aw, baby said he getting two and put one back. Hi, Sam, I am. You getting one? How many you want, Sam? Okay. I love you. Who else coming? Y'all coming? Zanny. He lost his way. Hi, baby. Hi, boo-boo. Who loves you? I love you. Are you back, Romy? You can keep two, boo-boo. Hey, you can keep two. Auntie said two. You can have two. You won't get one? I said 12 and under. So if you're 12 and under, you can make your way. Here you go. Somebody already took one out of my bag who was very grown. Pray for him. That's all that's coming? Good. All right. When you see something that could be for you, this is what I want to point out. Y'all see who came? The littlest of the littlest. Now, I said 12 and under, but who came? The babies. The babies came. Now, I saw my son just peering up at that box, but he didn't make his way up here, even though he's under 12. God sometimes has stuff for you sitting out here ready for you to receive it. Blessings here is for you. This is for you. I have this specifically for you. But because we have ingrained in our minds that I got to go through a bunch of steps and jump through a bunch of hoops and get a bunch of special permissions to get my blessing, then I just leave it sitting up there at the altar. I want to encourage you tonight, if God got some gifts for you, come and get what is for you. Amen. If you want a treat, come and get you a treat tonight. Amen. It's for you. See, it's 100 in the box. If you want something, you come and get it. Amen. Because we gave the children a chance. Come on in. Get your treat. God has sweet things for us. How'd you get that way back there? Good things for us. Sweet things for us. All you got to do is come and receive it. All you got to do is come and get it. It's right there for you. Just come and get them. Yeah, they're good. They really are good. I enjoy it myself. Come and get what's yours. Don't leave your gift sitting there. Be as a little child. Get beside the embarrassment of, I really want a fruit snack. I know I'm 48, but a fruit snack sure feels good around now. And come and get it. If it's yours, come and get it. God says, here it is, and we're stopping ourselves from our own blessing. Don't stop yourselves from receiving what God has for you. Psalms chapter number 23, we're going to say this and I'm going to leave. Psalms chapter number 23, David says this. You know it, and you can quote it. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd. Ho, ho. Thank you to the dear saint that reminded me about this right before we came in. I was talking to one of the dear saints, and they quoted this to me, and I added it to my notes. We weren't talking about what I was going to preach about. They're telling me their stuff. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me. How do I get led? I got to follow. I got to follow, right? He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord because I am following the leader. Because I am becoming, converting myself and becoming into this child and having this childlike faith where my trust and my total dependence relies on God. I know he's going to come through for me. I know he's got a blessing for me. I know he's going to make a way for me. I know he's going to open the door for me. Hallelujah. I know that it's all going to turn out all right. It might not turn out to my version of all right, but it's going to turn out all right. Because he makes a way for me. Don't block your own blessing. Don't stop yourself from getting blessed. Last thing, we were on vacation, coming back from vacation once. And I think we were coming back from a cruise, an extensive one. Everybody's tired. It's thousands of people getting off at the same time. And then you have to go through customs. Anybody who has ever had to do with this, you know, you had this great trip, but the coming back can be a little rough sometimes. And so, you know, once you get back and you hit them customs, you be like, yep, I'm back home. Ain't nobody be all kind and pleasant to you no more. Move the line. The dogs are out there sniffing and, you know, you're back, right? And so we're going through customs, and that's such a long process. Then once you get through customs, everybody's got to get in these lines to get in these maybe three or four elevators because we're in the basement of a building to take you up to get out. That's the only way to get out. And so we're standing, some of you have heard me tell this story before, and we're standing in this line, feels like forever. And the line is wrapped. Say if the line starts with me. And it's wrapping around like the entire sanctuary out the door and keeping going, right? And so the line is just getting longer and longer and longer. And I'm like, man, I know that it's a lot of people, but we're not even moving. So Mike Jones, inner Mike Jones, is I try to keep him quiet, but he was coming alive in me that day. And I was like, shh. Be quiet, Mike. But Mike was talking. And so I'm like, Jeremy, what is going on? We're not even moving. What's happening? And Jeremy's so calm. Like, he that stuff don't bother him. It's just a line. We're going to keep waiting. It's fine. But I'm like, something has happened. So here I go. Like Sophia. What is going on? March to the front of the line. And so I get up to the front of the line, and what I saw astounded me. I get up to the front of the line, and it's like, four rows of people waiting to get on these elevators. Nobody had hit the button up. They're all just standing there. Everybody's just standing there waiting for one person to hit up. I walk up on each door and go stopping away. Well, I don't think my Holy Ghost shine, but forgive me, Jesus, that those people could see Jesus. But literally, we had just been standing there and nobody had hit the up button. Don't let anybody block your blessing. Those people in the front was trying to keep me there all day. Only because somebody didn't hit up. Don't depend on somebody else. You come get what you want. Amen? You come get what you need from the Lord. Don't let some well-intending person who's trying to be nice and reserved in the front of a line and they don't want to make waves or something. I don't know why, but nobody had hit the up button. Don't let anybody stop you. Sometimes you got to go around the crowd and get to Jesus for yourself. Amen. Sometimes you got to do something that's a little unseemly and make your own way to the front of the line. Amen. So you can get to where God wants you to go. I want to encourage you tonight to have childlike faith. Amen. Walk in him, live in him, love him, trust him, and suffer the little children and forbid them not. Amen. Amen. So something was said to edify and help your soul. Amen. Amen. Don't try to come running up now and get all the fruit snacks. You was too scared. But this altar is open to you tonight. Amen. Anybody needing prayer, come on up. The altar is open to you tonight. Amen.